Good morning. Good morning, beautiful WUF. Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are also affectionately known as WUF. My name is Ashley Ulmer. I'm proud to be serving as your lay leader today. My pronouns are she and they. And tell me if you all realize that this is the last week before the return of our regular minister, Reverend Tracy Springberry, coming back from sabbatical, where she's been rejuvenating and coming back. And we look forward to greeting her next week right here. So stay with us. All of you are welcome here. Your physical self, your spiritual, your emotional, your intellectual self, your cultural, your ethnic, your racial, your ancestral self, your social self, your political self, your academic and your economic self, your weary, excited, fearful, uneasy, enthusiastic self. Leave nothing at the door. All of you is needed, included, and welcomed here. If you feel more comfortable downstairs where you can move around a bit, you're welcome to watch the service on screen from downstairs in the coffee room. And for those attending by Zoom, there's also a virtual coffee hour after that you could join the service using the link in your order of service email that came this morning. This week's announcements are also attached to that email, so you can explore the happenings of WUF. And if you're visiting here today, we're so glad that you're here. And please take a chance to fill out the form telling us who you are, giving us some contact information. And there might even be some check boxes of things that you could be involved in here at WUF that are of your interest. So let's take a second to greet each other again, especially newcomers and visitors, whether that you're here in person. Yes, yes. Everybody can settle in. Carry on these conversations further after the service. Keep that community building. Amazing. We'll get right into announcements this morning. Dan Boyce of the WUF Strategic Planning Task Force asked me to let you know that our congregational survey, originally scheduled to go live today, will be postponed to next Sunday and will be available all of that following week. 1 week of data collection. We need you. We need your info. So stay tuned and prepare to make your voice heard next week. And we have a video announcement as well. Beware the forthcoming Reel Chronicles, our latest auction committee publicity video, The Wolf Man Cometh. We're soliciting auction catalog item donations, inviting members to buy tickets to the October 26th Monster Mash for Cash celebration.
Okay, I know what everybody's thinking. Hey, Wolfman, the full moon isn't for another week or two, and this is daytime. You're right, I'm usually a little elusive, but that just tells you how important this announcement is. Seriously, the auction really is the lifeblood of Wolf's budget. So it's important for everyone to participate, and this year there is something for everyone in our Monster Mash for Cash auction online October 20th to 27th. It's the perfect opportunity to flesh out your social calendar for the year with dozens of opportunities to spend time with members of the Wolf Pack and to find things you didn't even know you needed. And then, on that Saturday, October 26th, we're having a Monster Mash Bash to celebrate right here in the Wolfman's Den. And I personally guarantee it's going to be a howling good time. We're going to kick things off at 5 with a trunk or treat event in the parking lot for all the Wolf Cubs. Then at 6, the Cubs will head into their own Monster Mash Bash, and we, more mature souls, will head underground to my den to enjoy games and prizes, a costume contest, and other surprises. And of course, we'll have drinks for purchase and some great finger food, because that's one of my favorite parts. You're going to want to get your tickets as soon as possible. They're now $5, but $10 at the door. Kids 10 and under are free. Costumes are encouraged for all, unless you're scary already. We still need a few more warm bodies to make this a party that'll wake the dead. So give us a scream if you're interested. Now, if anything can kill this event, it's not getting your auction donations turned in. In fact, if you're that sad soul who hasn't already picked their brain and pulled out a juicy auction item, we can help you do that. Check us out downstairs on Sundays or email us at auction@woof.org. And now, I have a special and very personally important additional announcement. The management of the Monster Mash for Cash reminds you that silver bullets, pitchforks, and anything sharp and wooden will not be tolerated on the premises. Ow!
Okay, thank you so much. Who knew that giving money could be so much fun? Ada will now come and light our chalice. And then our affirmation we can read together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love and love. For our opening reading, call to worship, centering here this morning, fresh off the summer spin, chalice circles are forming again. This morning we have a chance to deep dive into what it looks like to both ground ourselves and explore opportunities for connection at WOOF by hearing about unique chalice circle experiences. Dr. Vivek Murthy, the U.S. Surgeon General, writes in the book Together, "If the need for connection and the signal of loneliness are wired into our bodies and minds, that means they must also have played a significant role in the evolution of human society and cultures around the world. Yet, the value placed on social connection varies dramatically from continent to continent and among different cultural traditions. That, in turn, affects how and whether individuals experience loneliness. For those of you who connect more comfortably through organized small groups than gregarious coffee room mingling, chalice circles may be the milieu for you. As Pema Chodron writes in the book Taking the Leap, nothing is static and permanent, and that includes you and me. We know this about cars and carpets and new shirts, DVD players, but are less willing to face it when it comes to ourselves and to other people. We have a very solid view of ourselves. and also very fixed views about others. Yet, if we look closely, we can see that we aren't even slightly fixed. In fact, we are as unfixed and changing as a river. For convenience, we label a constant flow of water the Mississippi or the Nile, very much the way we call ourselves Jack or Helen. But the river isn't the same for even a fraction of a second, and people are equally in flux. I am like that, and so are you. Our thoughts, emotions, molecules are continually changing. This morning, we invite you to open the spirit of connection in yourself to a new flow by considering how you might be able to relate to Unitarian Universalist values and other beautiful people of WUF through chalice circles. Before that, we have a special musical performance, Lucky. And this is the Special Music Collective going to come up and dazzle us. Let the Life I've Lived, sung by Amy Lodato, Kim Transier, Dan Boyce, Spencer Ehrman, and Karen Stratton on piano. Time for all ages this morning is Elisa and Corey, or no? Elisa at least. And after which, all the children will be together in Forest Hall, and we will sing our children out after their story.
Have any of you ever had something happen to you And everybody was trying to give you advice, and you weren't, that's not what you wanted to hear? Well, this story is called The Rabbit Listened. One day, Taylor decided to build something. Something new. Something special. Something amazing. Taylor was proud. But then, out of nowhere, something happened. Things came crashing down. The chicken was the first to notice. Cluck, cluck. What a shame. I'm so sorry this happened. Let's talk about it. Cluck, cluck. But Taylor didn't feel like talking, so the chicken left. Next came the bear. Grr, how horrible. I bet you feel so angry. Let's shout about it. Grr, roar. But Taylor didn't feel like shouting, so the bear left. The elephant knew just what to do. Trumpada! I can fix this. We just need to remember exactly the way things were. But Taylor didn't feel like remembering, so the elephant left. One by one they came. The hyena, let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp. Let's hide and pretend it never happened. The kangaroo test, what a mess. Let's throw it all away. And the snake, let's go knock down someone else's. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody. So eventually, they all left. Until Taylor was alone. In the quiet, Taylor didn't even notice the rabbit. But it moved closer and closer until Taylor could feel its warm body. Together they sat in silence until Taylor said, "Please stay with me." The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide, throw everything away, to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor's plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's going to be amazing." And I'm glad you sat and listened with me today.
Let's stand and form arches over the aisles. The children are all going to do crafts together today in Forest Hall. For reading the rabbit. Let's share now in our affirmation of those wonderful gifts. Thank you so much. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us,
for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Now, with joys and sorrows certainly abundant here today, I'm sure, and online for those joining us on Zoom, we know there is so much happiness in the world. In little pockets, goodness, love, and beauty grow within and all around us. And together here, we create a circle of celebration, deep enough to hold all of those joys in our lives. We know there's also so much pain in the world, including our eardrums when the mic goes buzzy. We have so much and know of so much loss and devastation and suffering. Together here, we, in this moment, create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all of that sorrow too. As per our tradition and perhaps a welcome ritual, we're going to take a moment to reflect, and then when the music begins, you're welcome to come forward if you feel moved to do so, up the aisle, down the aisle, and stop at the place where you can hold a rock and infuse those joys and sorrows. Drop them into the water where it is the community of compassion that bears all the sorrows. And it is the community of celebration that shares all those joys with you. If you are so moved to speak about your joy and sorrow briefly, you can speak right into the microphone. I'll hold. And just take a moment of breath and quiet now, and then when the music starts, you may come.
Tom, I'm new here, and my joys and sorrows is my mother is now in an adult foster home and asking for your heartfelt thoughts and prayers. And I just moved to Tualatin. I'm looking forward to coming here more often. Thank you.
Is so full these days. A couple weeks ago, Paisley, my granddaughter, the kids were left in the service, and she came up and put a stone in the water for her Uncle Trey, and she said he wasn't doing well. Well, Uncle Trey has passed. He died a couple weeks ago. He was 36 and had three beautiful little girls, Paisley's cousins, and Uncle Trey. And I'm not much into numerology, but they say things come in threes. A very dear friend, musician friend, one who has encouraged my washboard playing, just told me that she's got inoperable terminal cancer. And, that's a big one. And then my friend from New York just put her husband on hospice, so. It comes and goes, folks, you know. Happiness and sorrows. I have a lot to be thankful for, especially in this community. Mm-hmm.
want to send a lot of love and healing to all the people who have been impacted by the hurricane recently. And I also feel a lot of gratitude because I don't have anything bad going on. I'm feeling grateful for the opportunity to interview with the French International School of Oregon to hopefully be their school counselor. I'd also like to thank all the people who have reached out to me to become new friends here in our community and for this community in general. Thank you.
This is for the people in East Tennessee and Western Carolina who are devastated by the flooding from the hurricane.
A few weeks ago, I told you that Roger had been very ill with sepsis, and you can see for yourself, he's back and he's feeling a lot better. And I just want to thank everybody for asking and offering support. It's been very helpful to both of us.
And I'd like to thank Karen for calling 911.
Joy for family in Western North Carolina that have been found, and sorrow for those that I'm still waiting to hear from.
I'm thankful for a renewed friendship.
My stepmother has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and my family lives in Clearwater in Tallahassee, Florida. So that's for them. And this one is for all those unnamed. This is for all the ones that sit with you today. They are heard as well. We have gathered 10360. They've tuned in.
We also have Dan this morning saying.
Amen.
center ourselves yet again with just a moment of breath and quiet for prayer, meditation, and reflection, as is your tradition. And with that exhale, we are going to learn now about chalice circles. This morning we invite you to open the spirit of connection in yourself to a new flow. I think I already said that. Gary Joquin is one of our members, very active contributor to our fellowship. Gary and other facilitators have come from the pandemic with a reactivation of chalice circles. And along with a cultivated group of enthusiasts today, will share with us on this special topic. Chalice circles are small groups who share in facilitated conversation guided by the current themes and topics of focus, often parallel to the topic of focus in services that week. Chalice circles have also proven to be a vital way to build community and deepen the ties that weave people into WOOF through thoughtful sharing and discussion over time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you've heard, my name is Gary Joquin. I have no personal pronoun preferences. The focus of this morning's service is Chalice Circle, a fascinating program in which I've participated for 5 years, the last three of which I've served as one of its facilitators. Chalice Circle's small groups enable us to reflect on our monthly Sunday service themes to go a little deeper. At least four Chalice Circle groups of 5 to 10 participants apiece are formed twice a year. Each group meets for about 90 minutes per session, twice a month, for 8 sessions total. Participants and facilitators alike are encouraged to sign up and express their preferences for the meeting day, time, and venue, the latter being whether or not they wish to meet in person or in Zoom. After the registration period has closed, Reverend Tracy, when she gets back, typically strikes a balance among all the needs expressed and finalizes the groups. The first session of each Chalice Circle is devoted to participant introductions and to reaching consensus upon the covenant of right relations that will guide how we interact with each other. Invariably, to meet everyone's needs, we make adjustments to our covenant, and it's a work in progress. It's a living document. Typically, we agree upon confidentiality. What happens in Chalice Circle stays in Chalice Circle, but don't get your hope up. It's not Las Vegas. We also commit to practice deep listening. Whenever someone speaks, they have the floor. We don't interrupt or interject, except for those occasional instances in which we need an explanation of an unfamiliar term or an acronym that enables us to fully understand what is being spoken so we're not lost for the rest of the session. Overall, the idea is to develop the ability to be totally in the moment, to not be thinking about what we are going to say next, and be totally present to the person speaking. I was skeptical at first, but this quieting of the mind and the safe space that it creates, in which we can truly be heard, can often be profound. For each session, Reverend Tracy creates a guide that bears some resemblance to a Sunday order of service. Using this guide, we conduct each service as follows. We begin with opening words, typically a reading. Each participant checks in. It's a marvelous way to get to know each other. After the last person has checked in, we take our turns reading quotes focused on the current Sunday service theme of the month. The facilitator then reads the 3 or 4 questions pertaining to that monthly theme. We enter into a 3-minute period of silence to contemplate the questions, and then we in turn share our thoughts about one or more of the questions posed. There's no need to address all of the questions, just the ones with which we have the most synergy. After everyone has had a chance to speak, we take a few minutes to comment upon and to express gratitude for what was most meaningful to us during our time together. We also take time to share our thoughts about anything that didn't go as well as we had hoped and suggest improvements. Sometimes this feeds back into changes to our covenant. Finally, we end our time together with closing words. Throughout the course of Chalice Circle groups, we explore and decide upon a service project, often with a social justice focus. For example, 1 year we donated essential items to Human Solutions, an emergency shelter with which one of our Chalice Circle members was closely aligned. Last winter, we decided to host this fall service to encourage more members to participate in the program. This morning, you will hear testimonials from members of my cello circle and from one of our facilitators. I hope that their testimonials will give you a glimpse into how incredibly meaningful cello circles can be, and that ultimately, you'll be inspired enough to enroll in our fall program.
Hi, my name's Wanda Corey, and my pronouns are she, her. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what Chalice Circle has meant to me in the last few years. I returned to Wolf shortly after the lockdown to find that coffee hour was a sea of mostly unfamiliar faces. And for me, public speaking is lower in the anxiety producing than unstructured social setting like a party or coffee hour with a lot of people I don't know. So the question was, how was I going to reconnect at Wolf? Well, previously, most of my connections at Wolf came from smaller creative type groups like a writing circle, drama lab, and dance choir. And by the way, dance choir is having retrospectives Monday nights right here at Wolf on the 2nd and 4th of the month. And so Chalice Circle seemed like a possible way to go back into being an active member at Wolf. I had been in one before the lockdown, hosted by Jennifer and Jim. Since creativity is my gateway to the spiritual, I'm highly inspired by Starhawk, who said, "Creation is the ultimate resistance, the ultimate refusal to accept things as they are, for it is in creation that we encounter mystery." And with Chalice Circles having an agenda that comes out before the meeting that's related to the topics from Sunday service, I figured this would be a great way to explore them in more depth and how to enrich and bring them into my personal life. It was further sweetened because of the Zoom meetings on weekday nights, which meant there would be virtually no conflicts with anything else I wanted to do, and would allow me to spend the time in connection and not waste time and energy getting to and from an unfamiliar place. And sure enough, I found that Chalice Circles were a great connection, being able to look at those questions and consider where my attitudes and opinions came from, as well as how to incorporate these values more fully in my life, did occur, and while doing so, it allowed me to reconnect with some people I knew, meet a lot of new people in a more meaningful way, and now Coffee Hour has many familiar faces in it that I'm excited about being able to reconnect. And so I would like to thank everyone, Jeanette and Gary, who facilitated, everyone who was a part of a Chalice Circle, or anyone who helped make a Chalice Circle possible. And as I look around the congregation, I do see some still unfamiliar faces, and I hope to get to know you better in the future, maybe in a future Chalice Circle. Thank you.
I'm Michelle Paquette, and my pronouns are she and her. The Chalice Circle program is an interesting one. We have our community circles, Chalice Circles, Covenant Circles, Theme Circles. We use do seem to like our circles. Our congregations have been viewed as circles of circles, and there's been some nice commentary on that by folks from the UUA. We can be an aggregated community of these smaller communities. We humans tend to be social creatures, thriving best when we can establish social connections. Now, through these connections, we communicate our ideas, we receive thoughts and ideas from others, and perhaps kindle new ideas. Through connections, we can support one another, providing and receiving that reassurance that we're not alone in this world. We form these smaller communities within our congregations as a means of seeking and establishing these kind of social connections. Some of these smaller communities may be spontaneous. A coffee hour interaction, a shared meal, a potluck dinner. Other social communities are planned or structured from the start, as social groups of peers with common backgrounds or interests. Our book groups, gamers, social justice groups. One of the most interesting sort of circles that I've participated in throws together many people from seemingly random backgrounds and life experiences. These groups both allow us to exercise our listening skills and reach out, stretch our empathic and reasoning skills as we work to build these new connections. The chalice circle we form holds the potential to become a small community of peers, sharing our thoughts about how each of us interprets and answers a common set of questions and statements in a lightly structured environment. It's a place to fully listen to and consider the expressed thoughts of others in the circle and contemplate what we each find most meaningful to ourselves. Oh, it isn't always easy, but it certainly stretches our listening and empathic skills. Why, I've heard that some folks can come away from this experience with fresh ideas and new outlooks on the world. Who knew we could change? But we may even develop persistent social connections across our very different backgrounds. And there have been a few of those circles where I've maintained afterwards a less formal connection with others in the circle for many years. It can be a good experience. Please, try it.
Our next speaker, Christine Leffler, was unable to attend today's service, so she asked me to read her testimony. Here's what Christine had to say. Use your imagination. I started attending WOOF in August of 2022. As the pandemic's grip on our lives had started to ease, I was hungry for community. So I jumped in with both feet and not only signed up for a chalice circle, but offered to host one in my living room, as I didn't want another Zoom meeting on my calendar. Tracy asked me to facilitate, and Graham and I shared that responsibility over the next year. Our last chalice circle ended with an ice cream sundae party, a member gifting us with heart-shaped rocks, and our service project was supporting the coffee house shows that UBA put on each month. This in-person chalice circle is where I met some of the people who became key in my life very rapidly: Karen Stratton, Amy Lodato, and Trish and Uwe Neitzel. My life is so much richer and deeper because of these friendships. Chalice circle conversations are not coffee hour conversations after Sunday services. They have monthly topics that reflect Tracy's sermon topics. We're given readings to ponder and questions to discuss. These deeper conversations have a way of getting you to reveal yourself to the people in the circle, while you also learn about them on a deeper level. Isn't that what we all want and need, to be known? In facilitating the circle, I was able to do something I deeply love. You can tell this is Christina, not me. Read poems out loud to other people. This led to me being asked by Karen Stratton to read a poem or two at some services at WOOF, which led me to become a Sunday service lay leader while Reverend Tracy was on sabbatical, so I could read even more poems to even more people. Poetry is my scripture, my inspiration, and my way of finding out who I am and what I believe. If you have been pondering joining a chalice circle, give in to temptation and join one. Who knows who you will get to know better, starting with yourself. Michelle and Sarah Madari were also members of my chalice circle and unable to be here today. But they were gracious enough to submit this video testimonial.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Madari, and my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Michelle Madari, and my pronouns are also she, her.
Michelle and I have participated in 3 chalice circles since we found Wolf.
In each one, we have loved being able to form connections with others across Wolf. This is our testimony.
So when the pandemic hit in 2020, Michelle and I became remote workers for the first time, like many others across the world. As introverts, we really loved kind of the quiet and the freedom that this suddenly gave us, way longer than we ever had experienced before.
But after a couple years, we started to feel isolated, and we began to look for opportunities for community. This is around when we quite literally stumbled across Wolf as we were driving on our way by to pick up dinner.
We were fascinated to learn about UU and its principles, and we started attending Wolf's Sunday services. And we really loved seeing what a tight-knit community Wolf was and just everything that Wolf stood for, but we found it really difficult to get to know anyone like on a deeper level.
One Sunday, we heard Gary's testimony about chalice circles. And although we didn't join right away, we started thinking about it.
And overthinking it, like we like to do.
One day, Tracy emailed us to ask if we were interested in joining an upcoming one, to which we said, yes.
We found with chalice circles, whether it's laughing over a shared love of spreadsheets, we won't name names, or at times considering how painful past memories have impacted who we are today, chalice circles really have allowed us to not only feel closer to others at Wolf, but also to grow closer to each other and to ourselves.
The topics sparked through chalice circles often linger in our conversations with each other after each session. We think that if you have any interest in joining one, you should give it a try. Hopefully we'll be meeting more of you soon.
And just in case you think that giving a video testimonial is easy to do, here's what you didn't see.
Oh God.
Charles.
Good morning. Okay. Are you smiling?
Yeah. Should we introduce ourselves?
Felix. Our names. I'm Sarah Madari.
And I'm.
What? Did you forget who you were?
Michelle
and I were. Maybe smile a little more. 20. And we're going to give our testimonial about why we think you should join a chalice circle as well as us. Michelle and I became remote workers for the first time, like minis.
Take 2.
Take 35.
I know. We started thinking about it.
Dang it. Did she smile?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hey Siri, stop recording.
Sorry, I don't understand.
I think this is a fantastic precedent. Wouldn't it be wonderful to someday have a Sunday service blooper reel?
Yes.
The obvious questions that many of you may have is, how do I enroll in this program? Our common program offerings include 4 sessions hosted by Rebecca Gammons, Sue Boddy, Tim Oliver, and me. Sessions meet in person and online on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays in the morning or in the evening. There should be enough variety for everyone. If you open your phone's camera app and point your phone at the square QR code without taking a picture, wait for the button to pop up, click on it, and then click on the link to load the enrollment page, the enrollment form will take only a minute to fill out. It will be open at least through October 6th, but don't wait too long. In response to a group email that I sent last week to all Wolf members and friends, as of 10 p.m. last night, 16 of our 40 chalice circle openings are already filled. And if you have questions about this, including how to use your phone, you can talk to me or Lisa after the service. And I believe we have time for Q&A, don't we? Yeah. If anyone has questions about the program, I would first of all like to say I am not a de facto expert on this topic. I would invite the participants of my circle to join in, and let's see where we go from here.
Thank you, Gary. I just have a procedural question. Challenge circles are for a set number of weeks, right?
Correct.
And so the one that starts in October, when does it end, and when would the next one start, or is that known yet?
The schedule is solidifying. We currently have three sessions that meet on the first and third weeks of the month, and one session that meets on the second and fourth weeks of the month. First session will not start until the third week of October. Then there'll be two per month for December, November, and January, not in that order. And one meeting to conclude during the first and second weeks of February.
Hi, I'm Sue Bodie.
I didn't recognize you.
Pictures up there. I wanted to clarify that my meeting is not going to be Tuesday. It's going to be Wednesday, in case anyone is interested. So thank you for letting me participate.
Any other questions?
For those of us who no longer have the email, can someone send that out again?
Let's see. I sent a group email to all subscribers, members, and friends last Thursday at about 2:20 p.m.
Who no longer have it for reasons not worth going into. Resend it.
And there is also a small handout in the foyer that has this, and so you can just take it and scan it.
But if anyone has not received the email, just let me know and I can send it to you individually. We try not to spam too many members with repetitive emails.
What are examples of some of the questions that are posed?
And I wish I'd brought some of them with me.
Sometimes there's a reading relative from Soul Matters or from the content of that is reviewed during the service in the week. And then there's a question of how it might be applicable to you on in a certain circumstance in your life, or how, you know, to sort of deepen the topic of conversation on a more personal level. You know, what that's an example, just a very general example.
I can answer that question. One of the questions that was asked at a chalice circle was, what brings you joy? And people would try to think about the moments of their lives that brought them joy. And that's just one of the questions that you might find.
Hey, everyone. My name is Jen Fife Adams. Use she, her pronouns, and I'm the congregational admin here. If you happen to get our weekly emails, I do have a link to more information about the Chalice Circles in tomorrow's e-blast. It is one of the highlighted pieces of information for this week. I know how people delete emails, so I am aware. You can also send me an email directly at admin@woof.org, and I can also resend that email to you. And finally, I would invite, you know, if for some reason all 40 spots fill up by the end of today, and wow, what a joy that would be. We do have a few other groups where you can get some of that sense of community, actually lots of groups. And I would invite folks who identify as women to join the Monday night evening women's group. And again, kind of a similar focus and another opportunity for folks who identify as women to get to know each other better. So thank you.
And to segue on that, if we do fill up rapidly, add anyone here present or anyone online who is interested, it's entirely possible for us to add another section, add a new facilitator if you would like to lead a group. I'd just like to conclude by saying that the participants in my group who have spoken today, including my wife reading that spectacular children's story, which I thought we could have ended the service right then and there because I thought it captured the essence of this program. I thought all the participants who are here today, Elisa, Wanda, Michelle, Christine, and Sarah, and Michelle, who are virtual, it was just spectacular to get to know each and every one of them. Their strengths, their concerns, their insights, their engineering minds, their aspects of social work, how they apply themselves, leave you speechless.
Yes, thank you so much, Gary, for that resounding affirmation of the power and opportunity for building valuable connection through listening and sharing. If you want to explore those things further, there's a contact us link at the top of the webpage where you'll be directed to Jen if you choose the admin email. Very easy, you can get connected, no problem. For me, I did a chalice circle out of the pandemic, and everybody in the group was just like, I feel like I'm at church on Sundays and I don't necessarily know how to connect. And the purpose of coming to the meeting was to do that on a more deep level, and it was successful for everybody. Still those connections I have today. It was a really awesome experience. So I will close with a quote from Jane Howard in Families. Call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it a family, call it a chalice circle. Whatever you call it, whoever you are, you need one. You need one because you're human. And I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with us until we meet again. And then the front face the back face the front. Hold hands if you'd like, and let's sing ourselves out with Carry the Flame.